Good morning and welcome to the Bible Church. This is the message preached on the first Sunday of 2021, January 3rd, 2021. If you can turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This verse will be the focus of our church for this year 2021. Verse 19, "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Amen. I will be talking a lot about what it means to be fishers of men during this year. But for this Sunday, I want to focus on the first part of what Jesus said, "Follow me." The sermon title for today's message is, "What happens when you follow Jesus Christ?" What happens when you follow Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, this morning we come before your throne. We want to thank you for the new year 2021. And as we open our Bibles and we read, we pray, Lord, that you would speak with us, and God, that you would give us the wisdom that we need for this year, and God, you would give us your word for us for this year. We pray, Father, that you would address the things that are in our hearts and in our minds and speak with each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These days we follow something or the other. We follow the news, we follow a popular culture, a popular person, or maybe a family members, or some of us follow our selfish desires. Some people follow on Instagram and Facebook. But this morning, Jesus is asking you to follow him. There's a popular TV show that my wife and I were watching recently because of the property we purchased. The show is called Fixer Upper. It's about two people, Chip and Joanna Gaines, who take on really hideous and problem-driven old homes, and they work their magic to make these homes look spectacular. They renovate the entire home, and they do it within the budget of the house owner. You see, my friends, Jesus Christ is on the mission. He is on the mission of renovation and restoration. I want you to hold on to the word restoration. No matter how broken you are, no matter how broken your family is, your home is, your life is, or even how broken the society is, Jesus Christ is on the mission of renewing and transforming you. The Lord Jesus Christ can make you a whole new being. This morning during worship, Ashish brought up the verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Did you hear that? If anyone is in Christ, that invitation is for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are and what ethnicity you belong to, what economical situation you are in, you can be a new creation in Christ Jesus. And all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So the first thing that happens to you when you follow Jesus Christ is that you are restored, you are transformed, you are made new. In fact, the word, Greek word used for new here is kainos. In the Greek language, there are two words for new. One is neos, which means recent or new to you. For example, you could buy a second-hand mobile and describe it as neos, your phone, since it is new to you. It isn't made new, but is rather relatively new to you. That is neos. However, the word used in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is kainos, which means something that wasn't existing before and is made brand new. It is used to describe something that was completely made of nothing and somehow brought together. For example, you purchase something brand new that has never been in existence before. What Paul is saying by using this adjective, new kainos, is that the moment one believes on Jesus Christ, that person has become a brand new status that has not been previously in existence with God. He is in a brand new relationship with God. At that moment, the sinner is reconciled in his relationship with God. That is the word used in the Greek language here. And that is what Jesus wants to do for you this morning. We often feel like we have been continuing in the same old habits. However, I want to encourage you in this new year to follow Jesus Christ, to be in Jesus, so that the old things can pass away and you can be a new creation. You can have this new life that Jesus Christ is promising you. And this is the first thing that happens to you according to the scriptures when you are in Christ. It is very important for you to follow Jesus and what he says, and that we obey his commandments. I'll continue from verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, Christianity isn't just a religion or a practice. Rather, it is a relationship with God. A lot of people think Christianity is churchianity. Churchianity is when you come to church, you make sure that the seats are filled, you sing the songs, you read the verses, and you go back home and live as if nothing happened. As a Christian, that is not what you are called to. You are called to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You are called to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. Sin has separated us from God and has caused division between man and God. And Paul is saying here, be reconciled to God. The Greek word for reconciliation is kata lex anthos, which means to be transformed, to be changed completely. In fact, whenever you see the word reconciled used in the English Bible, you can safely substitute it with the word transformed or changed completely. So Paul is actually telling us to be transformed and completely changed towards God. You see, my friends, when God comes into the picture, your hostility is turned into harmony. Your enemies become your closest friends. That is the kind of reconciliation, a complete change that Christ wants to bring into your life. 2020 was a big deal in terms of surviving the pandemic. We don't know how 2021 will go, whether it'll be worse or better. But one thing for sure is that this year has to be different for each one of us. One word that you should take home this morning is the word reconcile, so that you can be made a brand new person. When Jesus saw Peter, Andrew, James, and John in the boat tending to their business, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They left and followed him. What happened? Their lives completely transformed. They weren't the same people. Their goals, attitudes, and personalities changed. They were made a complete 180-degree change in the direction they were going. So the first thing that happens to you when you follow Jesus Christ is that you are transformed. You are restored. We hear people say, "Well, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I see no change in my life. I am the same old person." That is because their faith is simply based upon cerebral facts. And if you believe that this basic belief will lead you to salvation, you are dead wrong. James tells us that even the devil believes in God. You cannot simply rely on knowledge-based belief to save you. Rather, you must strive to understand the personhood of Christ. It is faith in Christ that saves you. The Bible says that no one can be saved unless they come to Jesus Christ. So apart from him, there is no salvation. No man can become a new creation by any process apart from Jesus Christ. So it is only when you are in him, when your life depends on the relationship that you have with our Lord, that you will start to see changes in your life. The second point that I want to bring this morning is that we have to remember, in order to have the new life, our old man must pass away. To put it more plainly, there must be death and then life. It is to take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ daily. In Luke chapter 9 verse 23, if you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9 verse 23, then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." For New Year's, people have this tradition of stuffing an old dummy and burning it at midnight, saying that they have burned the old man. Well, we could try mimic that, but spiritually, by crucifying our past selves daily on the cross. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Paul says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul is encouraging us to reckon our past selves dead, to finish, crucify him, so that he no longer lives in us. That would mean to daily give up our worldly passions of lust, anger, lying, theft, and all such things, and to forsake the deeds of our flesh and to live in the newness of life as a new creation. That is what Paul meant when he said that he lives by the power of faith of Jesus Christ rather than his own strength. If there is anyone in the Bible who knows about restarting their life and getting a second opportunity, it was Paul. Remember, before his conversion, his name was Saul. He was an extremely zealous man, someone full of passion, who used that to actively persecute the Christians. Saul was always running after Christians, and on his way to Damascus, God met him and completely transformed him. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He thought to himself to be someone that would conquer the Christians and the world and all that while claiming to do in God's name out of his own righteousness, but God transformed him and changed him from being the persecutor to be the one to be persecuted. He was beaten every day, and he writes, I die daily because of the amount of persecution that he faced on a daily basis when he was preaching the gospel. What an amazing testimony of transformation. When you are in Christ, you are transformed. You are a new creation. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The Greek words used here that meant put on and put off can also be used for wearing and changing clothes. Whenever we come home and our clothes are dirty, we put them off or we change them, and in their place we wear new clothes. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get fed up. I feel like I'm living the same life by fighting about the same problems and getting emotional about the same things. And I ask myself, how long am I going to worry about the same silly issues? We get weakened by our repeated sins that we continue on throughout the years. We once heard about an old pastor. He was talking about how he was able to overcome so many habitual sins in his life except for one, that was his addiction to pornography. He used that. He told us that that it began when he was a teenager. He told us that this began when he was a teenager, and it was something that he wasn't able to overcome even as a senior. Keep in mind, he was very old and almost ready to die. You don't want to be that kind of a person who on your deathbed says that you have a confession to make of being the same old person who wasn't able to solve the problem areas in your life. Rather, you want to be able to say that you were victorious, that you grew and overcame your problems. That is the definition of following Jesus, living a renewed life. Water baptism is the outward demonstration of the inward change. Water baptism represents that in the outward fashion. You bury your old man in the waters. You leave him behind. And you are like a new person when you come out of the water and you start living for Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 21 to 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 21 to 25. Paul tells young Timothy, therefore, if anyone cleanses him from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Paul here is teaching Timothy how he ought to behave in the church, the house of God. But this is a great verse, and that we can apply it in our homes as well. I'm sure each one of us have a burden for our family. We see things going wrong in our family and we want to change that. We want to restore the situations in our homes. But listen, If you really want to restore the situation in your home, it could be a relationship between you and your spouse, your children, your parents, or your colleagues, no matter what it is, if you follow what Paul is telling Timothy, you will be able to restore your relationship. Paul is telling Timothy to not only stop youthful lusts, but to flee from them and pursue acts of righteousness, faith, love, and peace. In addition to that, we must put an end to all our ignorant and foolish disputes. This used to happen to me whenever I go back to visit my parents after a long time. They have no clue what I'm doing. I have no clue what they are doing. And someone will say something and we fight. All these ignorant disputes generate strife. And that's what Paul is warning us against. And instead, to follow righteousness. What an amazing thing it would be if all of us follow this rule at home. Some of us want to win our family members to Christ. But if you are pursuing foolish arguments at home and generating strife, your family will not be won over to Christ. If you stop quarreling and you are gentle, patient, kind, and humble in your conversations and correction of your family members, you then provide the other person an opportunity to repent and change. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20 describes us as ambassadors of Christ. That is what Jesus is talking about when he calls us to be fishers of men. In that, by modeling your behavior to be Christ-like and having your life change, people will want to know what is behind your life change so that they can have their lives renewed as well. In closing, I want to read Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 17. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 17. I know it's a long passage, but I want you to pay attention as I read. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I want to ask you this question. Would you follow Jesus the way the Bible calls us to? Somehow, some of you have been in this new life for so long that it has become stale and you need a renewal. The choice is yours. Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And this morning, he is calling you to no longer set your heart on worldly passions, but rather sacrifice yourself to tend to your heavenly duties, so that you can become an ambassador, a fisher of men for Jesus Christ. Amen. May God bless you as you heard this message, and I pray that you would be reconciled with the Lord.